Someone found.
Did the Beach Boys write this about you?
Yeah, they did. Joel McGee is our guest, Wendy. Joel McGee, we all know him better as America's Toy Scout. He is coming to town for the Chicago Vintage Toy Buying Show, September the 25th through October 2nd, but it's in a different location every 20 minutes. It's very confusing. Joel, I don't understand this.
Well, I found out in Chicago, everybody wants you to be close to them, so I said, you know what? I'm going to do an event in every place imaginable so that so I can be close. You know, with the travel, you know, we try to make it so it's not more than 15, 20 minutes at the most for somebody to drive there. So, yeah, I love Chicago, and, you know, it's so big. You know, I thought, what the heck? It's always fun to meet new people every day, so...
So let me just give a quick list, and there I know there's a website that gives all the information, but on Wednesday and Thursday, this upcoming Wednesday and Thursday, you'll be in Arlington Heights. On Friday and Saturday, you'll be in Elmhurst. On Sunday, you'll be in St. Charles. On Monday, in Naperville. And on Tuesday, you'll be at Hollywood and Hobolton, Joliet. Is there a website? Oh, and Wednesday, I don't want to leave that out either, Burr Ridge and Hinsdale. Is there a website, Joel, where all the times and places are listed?
Oh, yeah, yep, toyscout.com, and we'll actually have those all posted within the next hour. All the different locations will be up in the next hour on that website. So, yeah, it's really cool. In fact, you can actually watch my episode, my newest episode of Pawn Stars on the website.
I love that show, man. I really do. I like vintage radios, but I'm not in it to make money, but I like looking at old stuff. Bill, you like toys and collect toys.
Yep.
But you're not really in it for the money either.
I'm not in it for the money. No.
So won't sell, but there are other people that will.
Right. And that's what this is, right, Joel? Is people come in and they have either a whole collection appraised or an individual item appraised, and take it from there. What goes on?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually amazing. Surprisingly enough, as soon as I land tonight, I land in Chicago at 7 o'clock, and by 7:20, I'll already be looking at a big, huge collection that a person has. So that's how I got started. You know, I was at a flea market in Sioux City, Iowa, way back in the 80s. Oh, my gosh. And I didn't even want to really be there. It was a bunch of clothes and furniture, and I'm like, get me out of here. And then all of a sudden, across the room, it's like the whole table lit up. I saw my G.I. Joe lunchbox that I had when I was a kid sitting on the table. And I went over there as fast as I could, and I picked it up. And it's like I picked up a video camera recorder inside my brain. I instantly was transported back to Crescent Park Elementary in the lunchroom. You know, back in those days, you ate in the gymnasium, and they just folded out the tables. And then they folded them back after lunch was over, and they played basketball again. But, you know, that's what got me started. You know, it was all those memories that I had as a child. And I remembered my mom had used to take pictures of us for our birthdays and Christmas, all the toys we got. She'd have us pose with them. So I went back, and she dug out all the albums, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I was on a mission from that day to acquire my whole childhood back.
You know what's funny is, Joel, not just me, but other friends of mine who are collectors say almost the identical story, where the toys serve as like a time machine. When you're looking at them, when you're touching them, when you're enjoying them, it brings you back when you were 6 or 7 or 8 years old. It transports you to another time, doesn't it?
It really does, you know, and I remember... You know, my childhood was all about the Apollo moon missions, and I remember getting another toy called Major Matt Mason. He was an astronaut. And
this is like you're talking. Excuse me, Joel, but Bill's face right now, it's like you're. This is foreplay for
this
him.
This is very exciting for me.
Oh, my God. It's incredible. I mean, it literally transports you back. I remember flying Matt Mason on a string all across the room. In fact, I must have had like 20 strings everywhere, so I could fly them into the kitchen. I could fly them in. And I put them on a little paper clip, and of course, we just tilted the string up and down. But yeah, we bring that back. You know, the world is so complicated and stressful today. I mean, I think toys are an escape. I know they are for me. I talk to a lot of collectors, and they're like, you know, I can just go to my toy room, and all my worries just go away. If only for a couple minutes.
Joel,
it's just nice to go back.
Did you see the news that they're making a movie out of Major Matt Mason with Tom Hanks?
Are they really?
Yep. I did not.
Yep, that broke 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow, I did not hear that.
Isn't that cool?
God.
I envision you guys holding hands and skipping into the movie together.
I wouldn't count that out.
I guess I'll have to call them and be a consultant for the show. I can give them lots of tips on the moon crawler and the space bubble and space station. I hope they make the space station like they did.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Who will play Calypso, his alien friend?
Oh, boy. They're going to have to be green, that's for sure.
Yep. Yep.
I remember him. He had his little shooter that you pushed a little air.
Yes.
Air thing, and it was almost
Wendy,
like
you can go home if you want. You don't have to stay for this.
I was just thinking that, and I know. Listen, psychologically, if you're going to look at this, it does bring you back to a time where you didn't have any worries. All you worried about was what you were going to play with.
Yep.
So I get it completely.
Exactly.
And so you're a Disney expert as well. What are some of the things that you've seen that would shock us at what they are and the value of them?
Well, I can tell you what I'm looking at right now in my house.
What is that?
I have a Peter Pan pirate ship from Disneyland, from the Peter Pan ride, which dates back to all the way when the park opened in 1955.
With the big thing?
It's the Peter Pan's Flights pirate ship. It's the one that was in the ride?
It's the real deal. You would actually fly over Never Never Land.
I was named after that movie. That should be converted into a vehicle that I drive every day.
How did you obtain that? That's amazing.
Rick Harrison from Pawn Stars, we got to talking to Disney. He loves Disneyland, and that's kind of how I – it was kind of luck. We met by happenstance in Las Vegas. I was shooting a pilot for what I hope to be is my own TV show, which is called The Toy Scouts, and Rick was gracious enough to appear. We actually had Butch Patrick, who played Eddie Munster on The Munsters, was there with his Munster coach. He's got a replica, believe it or not, of the Munster coach from the TV show.
That's the car that the family drove, right?
The family drove.
Yeah.
In fact, they've got the original Dracula is going up for auction this month at
Wendy, can I? Come on, Wendy, let me get it.
Ask your wife.
All right.
But we were there, and Rick was gracious enough to be in the pilot that we were filming, and we got to talking, and all of a sudden Disneyland came up, and he's like, oh, my gosh, that's like my favorite thing, but I don't know anything about it. So he asked me to help him out, and I'm like, holy cow, I never would have imagined that one day the Toy Scout, the next day Pawn Stars expert. So
that's fantastic. Congratulations. Exciting. What, from the world of Disney, other than that, because that's a very rare piece, what are the Disney collectibles from the last couple of decades that people are making money off of?
Well, you know, even though I don't, I'm kind of the vintage Disney person, but I know that people go crazy over the pins that came out over the last, they're actually making, I'm sure you're familiar with Funko Pops.
Yeah.
And all that stuff, they're starting to make characters there, and they had the vinyl Mation figures that were extremely popular. But people generally, they love the figures and the figurines, but, you know, there's so many obscure things. I was at one of my toy events, actually a couple weeks ago, and somebody brought up, it actually was from the 1960s, it was a Sears mail-away set, but it was a Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck Disneyland slot car set.
Mm-hmm.
And where Mickey and Donald were racing against each other, and it was really cool because they had scenes from Disneyland. You would race past the Matterhorn and race past the carousel and Dumbo, and you actually would set up these scenes on your floor, and so it was like you were racing through Disneyland, and I'm like, I've never seen that
before.
That's
awesome.
That's one of the things that I absolutely love. I've been doing this for 35 years, and everybody says, have you seen everything? And I'm like, absolutely not. Every single event that I go to, there's always something I've never seen before. I mean, that's what really makes it fun.
You're familiar with the Mark's Disneykins, right? The little plastic 3-inch figures?
Oh, yeah, the little ones, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
those absolutely. Were 15 cents each or 8 for a dollar when they came out in the 60s, and now some of them are up in the $250 to $300 range. It's amazing the way the price increased on those, you know?
It's crazy. Well, I tell you why. The word plastic comes to mind. Those were very fragile, and in fact, I'm shocked at the details that they can do on those things for such a small figure. But, you know, the little ears, the little tails, especially the Mickey Mouse tails, they were so razor thin and easy to break. So when you find those, you know, unbroken, they just go for crazy money because it's just hard to find. In fact, there was actually a person that used to work for the Mark's Toy Company had all the store displays. They were sold in California, I think, about a month ago. And he had like 50 of them. Every kind of Mark's Tinykin display you could ever imagine, which was Disneyland, but it also was the Flintstones and every other cartoon character you could imagine.
Hanna-Barbera.
Just imagine, yeah, big store displays with, you know, that was how they attracted, you know, we say kids, but the kids obviously drug their parents to see these things. But back in those days, it was elaborate. I mean, you had these giant displays. They'd hang them from the ceilings. They'd put them, you know, big floor standees of all these toys, and they'd make them larger than life, which is how they sold them. You know, the kids, they just had to have them.
Sure.
You know? And so they really took things up to a whole different level back in those days, something you just never see anymore.
Joel McGee is our guest. He is America's Toy Scout. That's who he is. Do you have any questions or comments? What are your toys worth? Give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200, and Joel can answer those questions for you. Spill Laugh, it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Joel McGee. He is America's Toy Scout. He's coming to town. He's coming to town soon. He'll be here for the Chicago Vintage Toy Buying Show. It's September 25th through October the 2nd. It's at a different location every couple of days, one near you, I guarantee. You want to go to toyscout.com, Joel? That's the best way to do it?
Yep, toyscout.com.
Do we want to take some phone calls?
Sure.
Joel, this is listener Bill. Hey, Bill.
Hi. This is Bill from Danville. Bill Leff, this is your toy collector friend
from
Danville.
Hey, how are you?
Everybody named Bill collects toys? Is
yeah,
that
how
it
works? Yes.
That is a rule. And I love the Monkees bumper music for coming back. That's wonderful.
Sweet, Bill.
I have two real short comments. The one about you made about the Disneykins. I did get a Pluto Disneykin that notoriously the tail is always snapped off, and this one happened to be on, and paid $5 for it.
A bargain.
But I have all but the Flash figure of the 1966 Ideal Justice League playset figures, the little 3-inch tall plastic ones, including the capes for the Superman, Batman, and Robin figure. And I'm wondering, you know, I know they're kind of collectible in that, but didn't know if they're gone up any in value or down or just kind of holding steady right now or what.
Well, let me ask you a question on that. I'm actually looking at my set here. They made a few different sets. Actually, they sold them separately, and then they made a big Justice League playset with a Bat Cave, and it had the Batmobile and Batplane. And what items do you have? Let's start off with that. Do you have the figures, or do you have any of the accessories? Because those are where the money's at, which is the Bat Cave Sanctuary, the computer, the Bat Launcher piece. But
no, unfortunately I don't have those, you know, like the Batplane or Batmobile or any of those that you mentioned. Okay. I have Batman, Robin, Superman, Aquaman, and Wonder Woman.
Okay, great. Yeah. Do you have the
all
ring?
All of them have the, like the Batman does have the Batarang in his hand, which I know often or not. Sometimes is broken. Aquaman with the dagger. And
what do you
so
think,
so
Joel?
So
like a ballpark figure on those. What do you think?
Well, the fact that he has those two pieces that are not broke off, because those were the first things to break, was the Batarang and the knife. I would say you're still looking at around $250 to $350 on those. Purely, especially if your decals are nice, because those were just little water transfer decals on those. So, those are holding. Any superheroes are holding their own very well. You can't go wrong with superheroes ever. I mean, with all these movies coming out and everything, they're just like little gold nuggets.
Bill, we got to get other calls in. Thanks so much for calling.
All right. Well, that's good news. A bunch of people have Disney stuff. The best place to send you is toyscout.com. He's America's Toy Scout, Joel McGee. And just to run through real quickly, you kick this off September 25th, which is tomorrow, in Arlington Heights, then in Elmhurst, then in St. Charles, Naperville, Joliet, and the Burridge Hinsdale area. So what's the best thing? People should bring stuff to show you? How does this work, Joel?
Well, here's what I say. First of all, I always tell people, do not try to clean them. I can't tell you how many times spraying something down with Windex or some other chemical has like literally made them melt in front of their in their hands. So,
Joel, should we shower before we come to visit you, or is that also
clean
not
yourself, not the item?
All right, that's a good idea.
That would be recommended, right. Absolutely. Right. But yeah, no, they bring them in any condition, and parts too. You know, I get a lot of people that say, "Well, my toy's broken." Hey, I restore toys. I mean, we don't expect these to be in perfect condition. You know, part of our job is putting things together, fixing them, and making them displayable again. I can't tell you how many times. Well, for example, a gentleman just called about the Batman playset. There's a lot of other accessories, and I'll maybe have one person bring me a Bat Cave, another person bring me a Robin, or whatever. But eventually, I put everything together, and we complete the sets again. So even little parts and pieces always count.
This is going to make you guys sad. Somebody has texted us, heard you talking about the Disney pirate ship. We just gave one away because we were cleaning out the attic, and it had all the characters, even the guy up on the mast did not know it was worth anything.
Oh, yeah, that was, I think that one was made by the Ideal Toy Company. Yeah, that was a really cool piece. Yeah. And
how much was that worth, ballpark?
$1 billion.
No, get out.
Yeah. Well, the Ideal pirate ship with Peter Pan and them, that particular toy, it's probably worth around, you know, $150 loose, but about $400 or $500 in the box. Wow. So, I mean, they're, again, here's the thing with boxes. They sit and cook in attics and or they get damp in basements, so they don't survive nearly as well as toys do. So they're when you have a nice box, and again, I even tell people, even if it's not nice, we restore boxes. I've taken a box that was in like 10 pieces and put it together again. It's kind of like my, you know, and again, it's not really the money thing on that. I mean, I've spent like weeks sometimes fixing boxes. It's just kind of a matter of bringing history back to life again. You know, I'll never make enough money back for the hours I invested, but you know, it's kind of the same difference as people building models and stuff. It's sometimes it's the therapy.
Yes, absolutely.
And fun of it.
Joel, we have to run. We have to have you on again. Please keep in touch when you do get your own television show.
Not until.
We'll watch you on Pawn Stars, of course, the Disney expert on Pawn Stars. And go to toyscout.com and find him. Starting tomorrow, you'll be in town for 8 days. We'd love to talk to you again, Joel. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks for having me
Thanks,
on, guys.
Thanks, Joel. Good luck with the week. We'll take a little break and then get you more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.